And then we did...
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Right, we're on, Don. We're up and running. We're up and running. What have I done wrong there? I've done nothing. I'm right. Now, it's no good trying to fool people, Don, because we're not good at that. We've already spoken to the doc from Sydney.
Why did you start without me?
Because the doc has a
certain... I told you what time I was coming in. I'm shitty about this.
You asked me why I started without you. Because the doc has a designated time he rings in, and I held it back for 10 minutes until you eventually got here. When you didn't get here, I thought, well, we'll lose him. So I rang him up, and while I was speaking to him, you arrived. So that's why, because the doc is at our behest. He's not at our behest. We are at his behest. That is...
Well, I know my place. You're number one, doc two, and I'm a distant three.
Don, if you're a distant three, we wouldn't have even worried about you getting here. We did. We waited for as long as we could until the doc had to go. So that's firstly. And so we've already canvassed some of the things about Kennett and just how we are being played. We know how we're being played. We'll get onto that in a minute. We've experienced being played by the ordeal we went through here, but it worked out well for us because we didn't cop it. We ended up counter-suing someone and had a victory because someone told lies about us. So, but I digress. First of all, Andy, who is a listener. What do you?
I forgot all about Andy.
Who's Andy?
From Somerville.
Yeah.
I forgot all
that's
about
right.
Andy.
He mentioned you.
I'm going ratty. I've got so much on my mind.
Andy mentioned... Yeah, I know. We'll get onto that in a minute. No, you won't have known what we spoke
what
to the doc. You won't have known what we spoke to the doc about if you're listening to this, listeners. But we've already canvassed Don's march to the presidency of Hawthorne. I'm going to... This ostensibly will be the first time, if you're listening to this, that you've heard of this, but Don has been at a meeting. That's why he was late to speak to the doc at Hawthorne. He's being wooed and groomed to be the president. He hasn't conceded that yet, but I know that's a fact. We'll get on to that in a minute. Andy said he listens and
Andy's mate. Do you remember his name?
No, I don't.
You
I
do. He's a florist. Not florist. He's a horticulturalist. Also from Somerville.
What is he?
Horticulturalist.
Just say that one more time.
You smart ass.
Don't just say
you
it again.
You are a bloody...
A horticulturalist. Go on, say it
thank
one
you,
more time.
Thank you.
Now, go
you.
On.
Thank you. You're a real smart
ass. If you're going to be the president
you're
of Hawthorne,
you're as dumb as
Don,
dog shit, but you're not bad at the elocution.
If you're going to be the president of Hawthorne, you've got to not fuck words up.
Well, I'll get
he's
you
a
to get it. No, I'll get you as my second string.
Say,
you can do the speeches.
Say horticulturalist.
No, you're taking great delight out of putting shit on
no,
me
No, because
here.
You're autistic.
No, you're a shithead.
You're like the Rain Man.
No, you're a shit.
So, Don, Andy, oh, we're shoving a shout out to Andy. You reckon you know who he is.
And he's a builder. He builds down around Portsea and Sorrento.
Wait for this.
And his friend.
What?
His friend.
Okay, now a bloke called Simo. So I got a... This is on the social media. Don Scott gets a mention as a dark horse for the Hawthorne presidency. This came... when was this dated? This was dated almost a week ago. So this was came in on the social media files on my platform called A Ridge Smart as Sam. And this is also what Simo wrote in. He said he loves the podcast and he said, this is Simo. He said, I'm not sure if I'm the first to have mentioned this, but Don needs to know. Remember we had a... Do you remember we, Don, had a conversation about you reckon you're being dudded for fuel when you get 20 litres you
yes,
actually...
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, so Simo has taken an interest in this and he writes in on the social media. I'm sure I'm not the first, but Don needs to know that a 20-litre fuel can is not 20 litres in capacity. I don't know what that means. It's closer to 22 litres, if not more. My 5-litre can isn't 5 litres either. It's more, if I know how to contact Don to tell him, I was nearly going to give Simo your phone number.
Well, can I tell Simo that on my can I've got markings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, well, it's, it only goes up to 5 litres.
Don, he is saying...
You've got markings, John.
He is just...
If you go past the 5 litre mark, Simo, I agree with you, there would be more. But there are indicators on the side of the can that I've got.
But he is saying that the markings on the can are not necessarily right.
Oh, well, why are they published? You take it back, you've got something to complain about. Well, who do I go back to where I bought the container from?
Ring them up in China where they make them.
Yeah, exactly. It's false advertising.
The blow plastic, the blow packs where they make them. Go over there and see the sweatshops, the blow packs. You know, that's how they make a plastic container.
What,
don't
blowing?
They blow air into a little plastic disc and it expands. So I'll read this out again. Don needs to know that a 20-litre fuel can is not 20 litres in capacity. It's closer to 22 litres. So I don't know what that means, but he's telling you that you're wrong. I think he's telling you. Anyhow, he loves the podcast, Don. He said you're a...
Fuckwit.
No, he didn't say.
I did not, Don.
If I want to call you a fuckwit...
No, but said, Simo did.
He said you're a fucking legend is what I was going to say. He said that. He said, please pass this on. I'm sure the backlash to him for next week will be equally as hilarious as today's was. He thinks you're hilarious.
No, you take great delight in putting shit on people, don't you?
I'm not putting shit on you, Don. Now, Ivan, you know Ivan?
Oh, how is he?
Ivan's back. He spends 1 week in
Perth.
Perth,
Kalgoorlie, or the mines.
Oh, well, 1 week in Perth, and he spends 1 week back here. Today, I said, "Are you coming down, Ivan?" He said, "No." I said, "Ivan,
oh,
I think he's given us the arse."
Johnny,
we thought
it's Mike Sheehan, Rod Law, and now Ivan.
We thought Ivan might take offence that we'd given him the arse, but I said, "Are you coming in?" He said, "No." He said, "I think the Ayatollah's got him doing house duties." That's his wife.
You don't think that's Pauline, an excuse? You've burned somebody else. You don't think you've burned someone else?
He said he's got to do house duties. I don't know what.
You've got to go and look at yourself. You go through friendships like.
No, he rang me
or
and he said he rang me and he said, "Would you like?" No, Don. He said to me, "Would you like
more in
would
it?
You like to come to the comedy festival with me at the Palms at the casino at the Palms room for the comedy festival next Saturday week?" And I said, "No, Ivan, I don't want to."
Oh, you said it like that. No,
I said I don't want to go to the.
No, no. Did you go? No,
I said. Ivan.
No, Ivan, no.
Many, many thanks for the invitation. I did.
You said no.
I did say.
You are an abrupt bastard.
I said I don't.
You are rude.
I said I don't want to go to the comedy festival, but I'd love to have dinner with him, you, and his wife.
Why?
Lovely wife, Pauline.
Why would you like to have dinner with them?
The Ayatollah, because she's got him under house arrest down there. That's why he's not
but
here.
But don't all women have you under house arrest?
He's got Ivan. Mrs. Malat's got Ivan under
There's no Mrs. Malat.
So then, now today, there is... Today, Don, I'm going to a. I'm only mentioning this. I don't know why I was asked because I was in the paper. I had a photo taken in the. Phoebe took a photo of me.
Oh, really?
Phoebe took a photo of me.
Phoebe Square. That's a terrific nickname, isn't it? Oh, that's not. That's
Fiona Byrne.
But there used to be a lady on Triple R. Her name was Fiona Brasher Brown or something. And her nickname was Phoebe Squared. I thought, what an original.
Phoebe Squared. Oh, well, I called
I wonder if she's still on Triple. Is it that community radio?
Anyhow, Phoebe got me to do a photo and just to promote the Grand Prix. So Andy Westacott. Oh, remember Andy Westacott?
Yes, he came in here. Where's my invitation, Andy?
Well, now, Don. So I rang Andy just saying, how are the tickets? He said, there is not a ticket that's sold out.
So, Andy, you've given me the arse.
He couldn't even get me one.
He was a Hawthorn supporter who changed his alliance to Footscray because his father played as the 19th man in the 54 Premiership.
What a fantastic thing that the Grand Prix has sold out, as opposed to the he's doing a better job than they did at the Australian Open Tennis, which was an absolute disaster and fiasco.
Hey, talking about the tennis, do you see that Channel 7 are coming out with a documentary tonight on Djokovic?
Djokovic. Good on him.
Yeah, but hang on. Isn't it interesting? Channel 9 won't do it. They had the tennis. Yet their rival, Channel 7, is bringing out an expose. It'll be a very interesting show.
And Djokovic will be seen eventually. Well, it's going to be interesting. The great hero he is.
But isn't it interesting that when you've got, we just don't get a true picture, do we?
No.
Channel 9 wouldn't touch it. Oh, no, it'll, you know, we can't do anything along this line. And yet 7 will.
So, just at last count, I think there were 9,500 cases yesterday of COVID reared their ugly head in the state. If you'll remember that the Premier closed down the whole state when there were 5 cases, so now it's just a complete rort.
He's gone undercover.
And,
have you seen this man?
He backed down a little when Damien Hardwick said it's ridiculous that we have to social distance.
So did Damien too. The pressure was put on him to back down.
Damien Hardwick.
Yes, but he backed down.
Who got him to back down?
Exactly.
Well, he said, and the Premier said, it's just frustration that he said that. Normally he would have ripped him a new one, like when we went and complained on the steps of Parliament that they'd shut golf down. The Premier said, oh no, if I can save one life by not playing golf, what an absolute fair dinkum. We did say on when we were speaking to Ben that the Assistant Commissioner, Luke Cornelius.
Oh, did you
backing down on about that? They want.
But hang on,
they want the police.
Did you see Shane Patton?
I did.
You know, doing an interview about improving the image.
That's how the Rita Panahi.
These coppers.
They're a disgrace.
Shocking.
Rita Panahi on her show on Fox.
Oh, right.
She
drew attention to it.
She did a fantastic thing saying how the police now want to rejig their image, having just closed down and bludgeoned people into submission.
Good on
and,
her.
And Luke Cornelius was the man who said, Black Lives Matter, they had every right to march because
bullshit.
They're a he said that.
Well, that was in the middle of Corona.
He said that. And now they want to change their tune and have everyone say, oh, they're great. I've got, not anti-police at all, of course.
The police have got to be an authority.
And Shane Patton, we'll say this directly to Shane Patton, if he wants to have some credibility, don't be nobbled by the government. Open up the iCook Foods fiasco. As she mentioned that, Rita said, this is one of their disgraces. The iCook Foods, the
red shirts,
the
security in the hotels, the money, $25 million went missing.
And Luke Cornelius saying that Black Lives Matter was a worthy organisation and they had every right to march because it's a social issue over in America. And we are being played big time. It is reverse racism, and I don't care what you say, we are being nobbled by people from having free speech only to speak about things that they agree with or they want us to speak about. And the world is fighting back where they've had enough of it. And as for the LGBT, we don't care. I know you don't, Don. We don't care
what you pretend you are in life.
You can pretend you're anything you like. You can marry whoever you like. We don't care. But please don't actually say we can't have an opinion about what we think about everything that's going on this planet.
Now, last week there was a release, it was in The Age newspaper about racism concerning Jeff Kennett and whatever at Hawthorn. Now, a couple of reporters rang and I said, go away and do an investigative thing yourself. I'm not commenting. One reporter, to his credit, rang me on Monday morning and said, yeah, I've done the research on it. I can't write the story. I said, why can't you write the story? You're weak.
Is this about the ripped jeans?
Yes.
Yep.
The inference was racism, racism. I said, why don't you write the true story? You did your research, do it. Oh, I can't do it. Because this gives me the bloody shits.
So
there was two reporters on Monday rang me from very well-known reporters, and both came up with the same conclusion. I said, write it. Oh, no, can't write it.
Yeah, because...
They're frightened.
Yeah, because it is an absolute furphy. We are not saying, Don, let's make this clear, that the person, is it Rioli's wife, if she took offence to that, that's... That
I'm not being... No, John.
No, I'm not,
I'm
nor
not
am
being
I.
I'm not. Listen, to me, Jeff Kennett's comment was completely inappropriate. Now, I don't mind saying my mind, but I would only say that if I was in Jeff's situation, I would only say that to somebody I really knew well who would understand my sense of humour.
Jeff Kennett is treating people equally. He does know those people. They're part of his football club.
Well.
And he was treating everyone equally. He would say that to anyone, and he said it to her. And if she took offence, that's fair enough if she took offence. But how you could write three pages in a paper and make this into a federal
racist
issue. It is a
racist
issue. It is beyond comprehension. It is cringeworthy. And how will... Honestly, I can't understand how that person stays
in business. No. Hang on.
It's
no,
just
don't
frightening.
Be.
No,
you're being personal.
My word, I am.
She did a job, and her story was as a reporter.
It wasn't.
Sorry.
Well, it might have been as a reporter.
She has done her job. She's on the front page of The Age, and it has been picked up and gone with. So she's picked up a story.
Because it's salacious nonsense.
But the people have gone along with it. This woke minority have gone along with it. It's ridiculous.
No, it's... Mate, would you like me to bring up the other things that she's...
No, please.
You wouldn't.
No.
Of course you wouldn't.
No, well, I do know them, Johnny.
Yeah,
you brought them up before about the wheelchair and all the rest of it.
Seriously.
She was taken to task, I think, by Frances Leach when she said it.
No, she wasn't.
Wasn't she on the ABC?
So Peter Jones, Percy, rings
in.
Oh,
you've usurped me. Usurped me.
Go ahead. Usurped.
Usurped, that means you've undermined me.
Usurped, I've beaten you to the punch.
Yes, you have.
Well, go on, what are you going to say?
Well, he's our reporter, he's a former combatant of ours in the past. Yeah. And
go on, what are
he's
you
an avid
say?
Listener. But he has just recognised that a man...
Yes.
..identifies himself... Can you believe this? ..identifies himself as a six-year-old girl and smashes the egg and spoon race.
Yep.
A former nightclub doorman, now known as Cindy, changed his name to Cindy, has rocked the girls' primary school record for the egg and spoon race after beating the current record... by an impressive, listen to this, 43.7 seconds. It's been a dream of, this is in quotes, it's been a dream I've had for 43 years, he told the journalist.
So this is well done.
But I thank Peter,
so
PJ
Cindy, Jones. Cindy, who he's changed his name, he's a doorman, he's changed his name to Cindy, is taking the piss out of how stupid this is becoming. You can identify as anything you like, and everyone has to say, oh, yes, quite right, we'll give you the respect you deserve. It is absolute nonsense, and he is just playing the game. A 46-year-old doorman's entered the...
He's a funny man, isn't he, Peter?
He's a man.
Percy. No, Percy. Or Peter. Peter Jones.
Is a man.
Peter Jones is a funny man. He's got a funny
sense. Oh, funny man. I thought you said he's a man, meaning that there was some...
No, he's got a good sense of humour. I like his dry sense of humour.
Pretty you didn't find it humorous when you used to play against him.
No, take it on.
All right, I'm glad you mentioned that. So then I ring up, I've got Michael Christian's phone number in my phone. So I ring up Michael Christian. You know, Michael Christian Menswear.
I had a great conversation with him.
And
the
I
other
ring
week.
Him up and I said, Michael, I said, I'm just telling you, I can't find any more of the size medium or large underwear. And I know you're selling them well. I said, but mate, if I could get any more. And I went on for 5 minutes and he said, hello? I said, Michael? He said, yes. I said, Michael Christian? He said, yes. I said, I'm not the Michael Christian you think I am. I rung the wrong number. I rung Michael Christian, the official who oversees AFL the reviewer. AFL Review Commission.
Yes,
so Michael Christian was bemused by the conversation. He let me go for 5 minutes. So then I rang Michael and he said, now, just tell Don, and I went down and checked this out myself, Don, there's a man now sleeping in the doorway in Church Street, one of the main shopping centres in Brighton, Church Street.
Really?
And I said, Michael, this is what's going to happen, mate. We're going to have people just take carte blanche at sleeping anywhere they like in the central business.
Do you think we should join? Do you think it could become a fashion or a fad?
To what, sleep
rough? Sleep rough.
Absolutely. Don, if
you think we should get in early?
Why don't you, if you want to come up from Mornington one during the summer next year and take a palias? You know what a palias is?
Well, I did it when I was playing football. I lined up Peter Welsh. We were training Friday night. I would never sleep rough in my life after this. He said to me, what are you doing tonight? You know, we'd done a hard athletic session at Boxall Athletic Track. I said, nothing. He said, well, Alice Cooper's coming to town. Do you want to get tickets? I said, yeah, I'd love to see the show. Okay, so we got it. He said, get your girlfriend, you know, at the time. And we lined up at festival. We went in there. The tickets were coming on sale Saturday morning. So we got in there after training. We slept on the asphalt.
Mm.
There was urine coming down the hill. They were vomiting.
Mm.
We were mixed up in all of that. I will never, ever sleep rough again.
Oh, well,
on
the
asphalt. I finally got the tickets. Probably the best concert I've been to. Alice Cooper.
Yes.
At Festival
Hall.
Did
he have the snake?
No, he came
through. Wasn't allowed to.
He came through.
I went to that.
Did you really?
I went with Nick Grapsis.
Did you really?
Yep. And Don, sleeping out rough to get tickets. I'll concede that. That's okay to do that. But when you set up shop or your house on a public boulevard or in a shopping strip that people have got to clamber over, it's not on. And we have compassion for them. The council should scoop them up and take them
Don't. You should pick your words a little better. Scoop them up. I've got a visage of a front-end loader coming in and scooping them up.
Oh, have you done?
Why don't you choose words a little bit better?
What about if I said we'll get a big Sherman tank and roll over them and squash them? I mean, what do you mean? Scoop them up is meant go down and say, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, but you cannot camp
Rehouse would be a better word, wouldn't it?
Relocate them.
Yeah, or relocate.
And if they're going to sleep rough, sleep rough somewhere else except in the main thoroughfares of a shopping centre or on the main boulevard of our picturesque drive down Beaconsfield Parade.
That's my point. But as the councillor said to the resident at Middle Park last week, we can do nothing.
The councillors are as weak as pissed on because they don't want to get involved. They could find any number of bylaws that would say you can't do that. Hygiene, safety, aesthetic appeal, health-wise, they could say anything, risk-reward of being punched. I mean, they could say anything. They could use any excuse to get them off from not sleeping in public spaces.
I was taken by a disadvantaged man last week.
Disadvantaged
man. In fact, he was an alcoholic. He had his bottle of wine with him. He was sitting out the front of the supermarket and he was gone, shot to pieces. But he had his dog with him and it really pulled me up. He took his coat off. It was cold. It was cold this last week.
Why?
He took his coat off and he put it over his dog. And he, you know... I just looked at that and I said, shit, you know, you're pissed as a fart. You still think of your animal. The dog sticks by him. I reckon that'd be his number one thing, looking after his dog.
Yeah, that's what dogs
and
are.
It just
they're loyal dogs.
They are. They don't judge, do they, animals?
No, you
they
judge don't judge. Him.
I learned.
Was he camping there?
No, he was sitting there with
that's
a bottle
right.
of wine.
Well, that's
bottle
right.
of wine. He was blind, absolutely blind.
Did he have it in a paper bag?
No, he was just necking it.
Is it sherry?
It was either red. I think it'd be
a
red
port.
Could be. It was in a brown bottle.
He might have got the taste from when he used to take communion, the blood of our Christ. You know, when they
you
used
think
to
he was an altar boy
chalice.
Or a Catholic?
when they bring out the chalice. Some people couldn't get the chalice out of their hands. That's how they started drinking.
How would you know? You're a churchgoer.
Yeah, I've drunk the.
What are you going to you? You're
I've
a
drunk
church
the blood
goer.
Of our Lord from what?
You're a churchgoer.
Oh, I had to be. When? Yes, when I was at school.
Oh.
We're a church school. A religious denomination
but
school.
But you didn't live by Christian principles and rules.
How do you know?
I know you.
Well, what the commandments?
I shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife is the first one.
Is that one of the commandments?
Isn't that one of the commandments?
What do you mean, don't what?
I shall not steal, you pinch everybody's. You're a plagiarist, everyone's ideas.
You see, you their ideas. Yes. No stealing is stealing people's possessions and chattels.
It could be intellectual property.
Coveting thy neighbour's wife. What does that
mean?
Like
you're a replica of a modified version of W.C. Fields.
I'm a little chickadee. She's more like a turtle than she is a dove. I was tending bar one time down the Lower East Side in New York. A tough paloma comes in there by the name of Chicago Molly. I caution her, none of your picadillos in here. There's a hot lunch in the bar consisting of succotash, Philadelphia cream cheese and asparagus with mayonnaise. I dip some mitt down into this melage. She's yawning at the time I hits her right in the muzzle with it. She jumps the bar, knocked her down, started kicking me in the midriff. Have you ever kicked a woman in the midriff that's got a pair of corsets on? Why, I almost broke my great toe. I never had such a painful experience. And Don, I've never coveted anyone's wife. Coveted? Is that the new word? What's that mean? Coveted.
Covenant or something?
Coveted, yes.
I shall not something.
Thou shalt not what?
Something.
Kill? I've never killed. I've never killed anyone.
No, no. There's a few things that you haven't done.
Well, Don, what commandments have you lived by? I haven't quite got them on the tip of my tongue.
I don't.
You've coveted people's wives. What? I could tell you three people's wives you've coveted. Don't start that nonsense, or else they'll rule you off the register to be the Hawthorne president. Now, Don, we've got to speak to our guest, very important guest. But before we do, Don,
yes.
You have been approached to be the Hawthorne president. Yes, you have, Don.
No, John.
What was the meeting there today about?
John, if you go onto the Hawthorne website.
I'm not going onto their website. I'm
okay,
not interested
well, on
in their
website, they published what they call a nominations committee, and I am one of five or six on that nominations committee.
So you're going to pick someone?
We're going through the process.
You're picking someone?
Yes.
I see.
Endeavouring to find somebody.
So can I get this? Are we ticking all the boxes? Is it got to be a person of colour? Has it got to be a woman? Has it got to be someone from the trans community? Or are we picking them on merit? Is it the meritocracy or are we ticking some boxes, Don? What do you think? Okay, I'll take it that it's not on meritocracy. We're going to tick a whole lot of boxes and we're going to jump into the lifeboat. So that'll be interesting. So why wouldn't... you're a shocker. Why don't you pick yourself, Don? You could wear a dress down there and pretend you're transgender. Why don't you become the president?
Oh, I couldn't.
and fancy, I know you said this to the doc and people wouldn't have heard this, yes, but you said Kenneth's got too many conflicts of interest.
No, he's got a conflict of interest.
Everyone's got a conflict of interest. Anyone that's a president, Eddie Maguire, they said, did a fantastic job for that football club over 20...
He was conflicted.
Of course. This is what Wilson used to say to him, he was conflicted. Have a listen to her saying he was conflicted. Have a look at the crap that she carries
on.
No,
John.
Oh,
please,
mate, please.
She's just a reporter.
She's not.
She's reporting what's out there.
No,
she's getting the news from somebody.
No, that's why she's not a reporter.
No, no, she. Well, that's how they get their sources.
She's an opinionated person who is fed.
She may be opinionated, but she's getting her stories from sources.
That's right. And
she just. doesn't write that fictitiously. Come on, no journo does that. They've got sources, journo. Well, and you should know that.
Well, the last times that her and someone else wrote something, they had to have the award rescinded that they were given because it was found out to be bullshit.
Well, their source.
Well, so that's correct. All right. Oh, so if you get a source and it's not correct, that's not your fault. Now, come on, Don, please.
And also, that was a court ruling. Oh, man. So that's somebody judicial system making a judgment.
All right, now we're going to. Have you got anything else to say?
I've got a lot to say.
Well, hurry
but I'm
up.
Looking forward to our next guest. So finish, please.
Oh, so you said you had a lot to say.
That's right, but I'm putting all that aside because I'm so anxious to
quickly
interview.
Quickly say.
Nothing.
You moron. So you say you've got plenty of things to say, and then when he finishes, you say, oh, shit, I should have mentioned that because... And I said, why didn't you? He said, oh, well, I thought we were against... you're not against time. Tell me what you've got there. You've got nothing, have you? You've got nothing.
You've got a very selective memory.
You've never
you are
got
selective.
Anything. You bludgeon
you're
me
You're a bully.
Into...
I could imagine you being the class bully.
When we finish and I turn this off, you say, oh, I meant to mention this.
Yeah, I know. Well, you just...
Well,
I've got so much in my mind. I want to get to the guest.
Oh, geez, you're full of shit, Don.